Yo! What is up, chumps? Welcome to the late night edition of the Fantasy Chumps podcast. Joining me, Nate. How are you doing tonight? We're both kind of dead, if we're being honest. I might not remember what I say on this podcast.
Yeah, this is a few hours past when we normally record. So, kind of in the wee hours at the wee hours of 9:45 in the evening. So, not firing on all cylinders by any means, but always happy to be here. It's been kind of a weird week for you and I in our league of record, since we both are proud owners of the first round bye. We had really nothing to cheer for or look forward to this week. But honestly, I've enjoyed the bye week. It was no stress. It's been pretty nice.
And we have another week. But you always, I don't know if it's just me, I feel like I always want my team to do well, no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I'm in the consolation bracket, I set my lineup.
For sure. It definitely helps, I think, seeing your team, which is funny because both of our teams went off this week. We both went for like 150. It's good. It kind of gives me the confidence a little bit. You just know that, you know, your players are performing well. There's no question marks going into the second round. So hopefully the week two of the first round, we're going to find out who we're playing. So I'm pretty excited. We've got some people competing in the wild card round right now. A couple close, well, one close match. The other has the potential to get close, but it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, what's funny is John, who's not here, he put up the most points in our league in the consolation bracket.
Consolation matters.
It's just funny. I was texting him today. He's like, "Yeah, I'm pissed."
What is the incentive to do well in our consolation bracket?
Whoever wins gets to choose their draft spot for next year.
I think that's
the rest is random.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I honestly would recommend anybody that's kind of in a pretty competitive fantasy league to incentivize the consolation bracket a little bit. I think for a lot of leagues, consolation loser determines who the loser of the league is, but the way we do it is loser of the league is whoever does the worst in the regular season, tiebreakers, points for. But if you don't do it that way, or if you do the same thing as us, I think you should incentivize some good play in the consolation bracket. I think it keeps everybody engaged for the remainder of the season, especially with ours too, because our regular season is only 11 weeks, so it's pretty short.
Yeah. It is short.
But it makes for the best playoff system, yeah.
It does, because having a two-week each round, two teams getting the bye, I like it. Because I'm in another league where we only have four teams make the playoffs. No bye. 2 weeks each. That starts week 14. And it's just – I've already clinched the playoffs. Actually, all four teams have made the playoffs, have, like, clinched. So there's nothing riding on week 14 besides seeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just kind of almost sitting there thinking, what's the point of this?
Right.
And now less people are out. 60. It just blows my mind. 60% of that work league doesn't care about that league anymore. So it's just no point. So, well, we have quite a bit to talk about. So let's kind of dive right in. Nate, I know you wanted to talk about the Vampire League.
Oh,
it'll be
yes.
Short. Technically, I have the best team. I'm just saying.
I honestly have not followed the Vampire League as closely as I probably should have. The long and the short of it is the Vampire is wrecking the league right now. They are unstoppable. So Chase is our vamp in our league. I think he's 9-3 right now. Looking pretty good. I lost some interest as soon as he snatched a player from my team in like week two. I think did he take Jamar or Justin Jefferson?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was kind of a tough one to swallow, but we're kind of hanging around though. I'm currently 6-6. Leighton is 7-5.
But who has the highest points for?
You have the highest points for?
I don't know. I was just kind of asking a curiosity question. Yeah, I have the highest points for.
Yeah, you do. Congratulations on that.
And it's okay. I'm still 7-5. So.
But it's been a while since we checked in on the Vampire League. I know we talked about it a lot preseason, so kind of wanted to give you some kind of a little perspective on what's going on right now. But yeah, it has been a crazy good year to be a vampire. There were just so many streamers you could get off the waiver wire that ended up being starters and superstars this year. I think Chase, did he start the year with Raheem Mostert as his RB1?
He did.
Yeah. So that helped a little bit. And then you can pick up Nico Collins, other players like that. I mean, Puka. It did not take long for him to have a juggernaut of a team. He probably did have Laporta. He is now starting currently Trey McBride as his tight end because Mark Andrews unfortunately suffered the season ender. Is he out for the season or was it confirmed?
They don't know.
Okay.
They think there's a chance he could come back. It had to be in the playoffs, I bet.
But fun year to be a vampire. Honestly, I think every year is kind of a fun year to be a vampire. It's a totally different management system for your team.
Yeah.
But that was updating the Vampire League. I also have to give some props to a fan of the show, Jash. Jash is hanging in there, sitting nice 8-4 in second place right now. So props to Jash. He was very proud of his draft this year. Coming out of Vamp. He's very excited about that. So it's definitely paying off for him.
It's turning out well. Well, we have not a ton of injury news, but we'll try to breeze through this because I feel like everybody's heard about the big ones. Jonathan Taylor is expected to go surgery on his injured thumb as soon as Wednesday. We are recording this Tuesday night. And he's expected to miss a few weeks. Zach Moss, if he's available, won't be much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was an interesting injury report, like for Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, I mean, I saw a tweet and I can't really remember what was in it, but it kind of started out as like nobody really knew about it, and then he played through it, and then today it was like Jonathan Taylor's dealing with a hand or thumb injury that's a lot more serious than people are thinking it is. Some people thought it was like surgery and he was going to not be able to play the rest of the regular season, but looks like it's only 2 to 3 weeks now, hopefully. But I mean, fingers crossed he doesn't have to go on IR for those people that have Jonathan Taylor.
That'd be killer.
It would be a killer for if you had him all year and just dealt with everything that has come with him. But yeah,
I mean,
kind of tough.
I don't like to brag too much. The chumps did say to avoid Jonathan Taylor this year.
I know. Which is, it does stink though, because he's actually started, I feel like, to look like the old Jonathan Taylor.
Oh yeah, for sure. The Jonathan Taylor everybody knows and loves.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins still dealing with that shoulder injury, limited practice on Tuesday. He might play, but does it really matter with Jake Browning? No offense. I don't think so. Kenneth Walker, that was mean. I'm sorry. Jake, if you're listening, I apologize. He's not. Kenneth Walker is dealing with a knee injury, was limited on practice on Tuesday. They play Thursday again. He's not going to play.
Yeah, that's another tough one for Seattle. I feel like if you're Seattle, you cannot wait to get Kenneth Walker back because they have looked abysmal the last couple weeks. I mean, they kind of were in control, I want to say, up through most of that Rams game. Geno went out. I think Kenneth Walker got banged up a little bit, went out. That offense just looked so stagnant, and then horrible showing last week against San Francisco. So very tough. There's a considerable drop-off between Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet.
You can pick him up, though. He'll probably be available.
Yeah.
Devon Achane, dealing with his knee injury, was limited in practice on Tuesday. That's a good sign. We don't know anybody that's really hoping for that. No, nobody at all. Amari Cooper dealing with hamstring injury. A few guys did not practice, including him, Dallas Goedert, Rashid Shaheed, and Quentin Johnston all did not practice on Tuesday. Quentin Johnston, I'd be surprised if he didn't play. Goddard, I'd be shocked if he played. Shaheed won't play. And Cooper, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, which one of those are you most worried about if they're on your fantasy team, Nate?
I mean, probably the biggest guy would be Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I think or Amari Cooper, even going into last week, I think was in a pretty unstartable spot with the quarterback situation in Cleveland. I mean, he definitely had a couple opportunities in the game last week. I mean, he got a few targets. It was a touchdown target or a two-point conversion target. I can't remember, but I did see him drop a pretty catchable ball right in the end zone there. So that was kind of a bummer, but I just don't think his ceiling is too high to begin with right now. The guy that's cooking in Cleveland is David Njoku. He's getting a boatload of targets. So that was a key waiver ad if you got him at some point there in the middle of the season.
Whoa, I didn't realize he's been this good. He's been over 10 points the past 6 weeks.
Yeah. What's his overall season ranking now?
Tight end 10.
It's kind of just been slow and steady for him. I mean, he's getting a lot of targets. It's like, it seems like 8 to like 14 targets the last 5 or 6 weeks. And then
guess how many touchdowns he has all year?
2.
Spot on. He has 2. To be wide receiver, to be tight end 10. Tight end 10. Yeah, that's kind of weird. With only 2 touchdowns, I feel like that's the big reason why he's so low. If he had 5 or 6 touchdowns, he'd probably be tight end 6.
Oh, yeah, easily. I mean, that's the difference between him and George Kittle, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. Like
similar targets, similar yardage. It's just not the touchdown.
Yeah, he's had 8+ targets in 5 of those 6 weeks. So definitely a good pickup if you have him. He should be able to start the rest of the season and probably be the most exciting piece of the Browns offense for you. So that's interesting. But, I agree with that. Amari Cooper, definitely somebody to keep an eye on. I'm honestly – Dallas Goedert is interesting to me because if he's on your team, more than likely you drafted him and he's your starting tight end. And – if he comes back, depending on who you're playing instead, that could be a huge upgrade. But it also affects the pass catchers in Philadelphia a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like teams can target, try to take away A.J. Brown a little bit more. I mean, nobody else in that receiver room out of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I feel like anybody's worried about. So obviously those are two hard guys to shut down. But
no, I would agree. I mean, I think it's pretty clear, like ever since Goddard went down. So Goddard had a pretty slow start to the year, if I remember right. Kind of came alive like after week 4-ish. Uh-huh. Which was interesting because Devontae Smith kind of came out of the gates hot, started playing well right at the start of the season. It seemed like it was a very concerted effort by Philadelphia to get Dallas Goedert more targets, just get him more touches. And that came at the detriment of Devontae Smith. Ever since Goddard has been out, I feel like Devontae Smith's production has gone up substantially.
For sure.
Yeah. In the last 4 games that they've played, Devontae Smith's gone over 20 twice and 15 twice. So
that was my biggest problem with him coming into the year is Devontae Smith didn't do anything when Goddard played last year.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say he didn't do anything, but for his draft value, it wasn't good. But when Goddard was out, Devontae Smith looked incredible. So
it's kind of like a 2A 2B. Well, I shouldn't say that. Honestly, I think AJ Brown is solidified as like the one in Philadelphia. I don't think there's many questions about that. Devontae Smith is close, but when Dallas Goedert is available, like I think Devontae Smith should be like a 1B type receiver because I think he's very talented. But when Goddard's there for whatever reason, they just kind of get – I feel like they kind of cannibalize each other a little bit.
They definitely do.
So I think Goddard, if he was going to come back, that's negative news if you own Devontae Smith. I would be kind of wary when starting him.
If the trade deadline's open, I would try to move him.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get somebody else.
Would you – so Devontae Smith right now is wide receiver 18 on the year.
Yeah.
Coming off four really good weeks. I feel like this is the time to sell high on him. He does have – I mean, he has San Francisco next week, which is kind of a tough matchup. Going to be a great game, by the way. I can't wait for that one. But
such a good game.
Would you – if you had Devontae Smith, would you trade him for, like, Puka right now?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that name. Yeah, probably.
What about, like, Mike Evans?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think those are two guys you could get with Devontae Smith's name.
You might have to throw in another piece, but you could do it.
And I think it would be worth it, honestly, for both of those players.
For sure. What about, do you think somebody would take Devontae for Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, I think somebody that had Brandon Ayuk could take that. And I think if you had Devontae Smith, you could definitely. I would endorse that move to go and get Brandon Ayuk.
I would love that. What about for Chris Olave? Probably not trading Chris Olave.
I bet they would. Maybe. I feel
as a guy with Chris Olave on my main team, I would not trade it for Devontae Smith. But
I think that might be. I think that might be closer than you think. And yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know who some of these listeners. I don't know what the average guy league man or fantasy team managers like in your leagues, but I think if you could try and get Chris Olave for Devontae Smith, I don't know if I would do that honestly though. I mean, I just think the quarterback situation seems like a lot of trust is being lost in Derek Carr down in New Orleans. However, if they do decide to make the switch to Famous Jameis, I like Chris Olave a lot more.
Please. My dream is I make it to the fantasy championship. They put in Jameis for those 2 weeks. I'm winning. It doesn't matter.
Chris Olave is king of air yard target. Jameis Winston just loves to throw the ball as hard as he can and as far as he can.
Yes.
Chris Olave, 40 yard plus targets all day.
All day, every day. That's awesome. Well, okay, cool. Now we're going to move into our sleepers, streamers, and must starts. Nate, we did this a few weeks ago. Bringing it back because we liked it. And everything else I heard, everybody else liked it too. So why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so I thought this was kind of a good format to give you a little. I mean, I think it kind of covers all the bases as far as like a start-sit scenario goes for the week. So starting with the sleepers, these are kind of people that I'm assuming are probably tucked away on your, you know, on your bench. Probably they're probably not available on the waiver wire anymore, although they might be. They won't be for long, I will say that. So my guy is going to be Joshua Downs, wide receiver on the Colts. I kind of like him coming into this week because they are playing the Tennessee Titans defense, which is like a bottom five passing defense in the league right now. They're giving up a lot of yards to receivers. Joshua Downs just came up kind of an underwhelming week against Tampa Bay. He only had 9.3 fantasy points. However, he had 13 targets in that game. He only caught 5 of them for 43 yards, but 13 targets, 13. That was, yeah. So I'm guilty actually of starting Josh Downs in a league last week. I had my feel for the game was correct, where I thought he was going to get a lot of targets, and he's honestly, typically when Josh Downs gets targets, he's probably going to bring in like 80% of them. For whatever reason, this game he was only able to brought in less than half of his targets, which was kind of unfortunate. But he's a guy. I feel like he's a high volume receiver. He's got big play potential. I think against Tennessee, he could torch him. Pittman's going to get his, I think, again. Seems to be a pretty solid connection between Pittman and Gardner Minshew.
They love each other.
They've been having a pretty good season together, but I think Josh Downs is due for a big week. Could see him possibly sneaking into the end zone. He's only got 2 touchdowns this year, but yeah, he definitely, I mean, this is his second game getting 10-plus targets. He's yeah. has 2 other games where he's gotten 9 targets, so I think I like him for this week as a flex play. But this is kind of just fading the Tennessee defense right now. I think there's a lot of big plays from the wide receiving core to be had in this game.
Okay, quick sidebar. Do we think there's any chance Mike Vrabel gets fired this offseason?
I would have said 100% no through like 4 weeks.
You know what the record is, right?
Have they won 3 games?
Yeah. I'm trying to pull it up. They are 4-7.
No. Right now, I mean, I think he could. I think that Tennessee is going to have to show a little more than what they have so far. I don't think that they can, you know, go 1-5 the rest of the season or whatever it is. And his job be safe. I mean, I honestly thought that Frank Reich was totally safe for this year. I thought this was like a Carolina, you know, they know the team is not where it needs to be competitive. This is, you know, get Bryce Young the reps. But for whatever reason in Carolina, they did not like what they saw from Frank Reich. And so they axed him midseason. Yeah. I did not see that coming. I think Vrabel, he's done enough for Tennessee in the past, though, I think, for him to keep his job for another year. But I mean,
the only reason I bring it up is because there's 6 games remaining in the season. They play the Colts, Dolphins, Texans, Seahawks, Texans again, and Jaguars. Like, they're maybe winning 2 games.
I'd say if they win 2 games, I think he's safe.
What if they win no games?
He's gone. I think if they win no games, I think if he wins. Yeah, I think if he wins less than 2 games, his job might be in jeopardy.
Because they have the 7th pick in the draft right now. Dude, there's a lot of bad teams.
I don't know. I don't think his job is in question, to be honest. I feel like he's proved enough. He is a guy that I think has gotten the most out of these Tennessee rosters in the past. And has made them much more competitive than they ever should have been. I mean, getting a 1 seed back in 2020, yeah. I think it was, they had no business doing that. And then, I mean, they have always had a pretty good defense outside of this year. But he does not have a ton to work with. And I don't really know what better options would be out on the market for a coach at this
point. Well, I agree. There's always just the surprise coach firing. And I feel like this year, Carolina's already fired. Raiders have already fired. The Chargers are probably letting Brandon Staley go. Ron Rivera is probably leaving Washington. That's at least 4. I mean, Arthur Smith, he could get fired, but like they could win the division.
That's interesting. I mean, like I said, I would have never thought that he could get fired.
I was just looking at the draft order for this year, and it's not great for them. And let's say they have a top 5 pick. Are they taking a quarterback? I mean,
that's a whole different question.
Yeah, sorry. We're going down a rabbit hole.
I mean, but maybe a discussion for another day.
All right, worse for me. So my sleeper this week is Jaden Reed. So fun fact about Jaden Reed, he has 15-plus fantasy points the past 3 weeks, which – He had one really big game week 2 and a few other games over 10 points. But other than that, he's just been just a little non-existent. And in the past 3 weeks, he's just blown up. 5, 6, and 8 targets. They've played the Steelers, Chargers, and Lions in those weeks. So not slouches by any means either. They do play the Chiefs defense this week, which I think is the top 3 defense in the NFL. The good news about that is Jaden Reed is not the number 1 wide receiver. I think L'Jarius Sneed will probably follow Christian Watson around. Trent McDuffie could get put on Romeo Doubs. So I think Jaden Reed might get put on our cornerback three. So that's the only reason I have faith in him. And I think Jordan Love might look his way quite a bit. So
as the Chiefs fan, Chiefs inside expert that you are, digging into this matchup a little bit more, if it's Trent McDuffie on Jaden Reed, how does that change your opinion of him?
I still wouldn't be, I guess, overly enthusiastic, but he's 20, wide receiver 22 on the year, which blows my mind. But the Packers offense has looked a lot better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, just making that up.
No, I think Jordan Love has looked a lot better.
And it's just been interesting. Sorry, wide receiver 33, not 22. Don't know where my mind was going. But, yeah, it's just been interesting because I feel like there's a lot of players that they're so young, they struggled so much, and I think they're getting their groove together. But if Trent McDuffie's on him, that makes me a little bit more worried, but I don't think he will be, honestly. So we'll have to see. I also think the Chiefs' offense is starting to look a lot better last week, so I think they could continue that momentum. So the Packers would have to throw it more. So let's, I guess, have to see what happens with them, right?
Mm-hmm. I have a kind of a funny story on this. Layton, I was just talking to you before the episode about my friend Christian, who I just saw this last Sunday when we watched the Ravens game. He is a Packers fan. He's from Wisconsin. So I told him that I was going to the game and everything. We talk a lot about the Packers, but it was pretty funny. Like probably a month ago, we were actually on a bachelor's trip together and we were sitting around. It was kind of early in the morning and we were watching like the noon kickoff games, which we were in Costa Rica actually. So it was like 11 a.m. when those were kicking off, I want to say. Pacific. And so it was we had kind of a late night. It was pretty early morning for us. We were not firing on all cylinders. So we were sitting around watching the noon games and Christian was going through Twitter and everything. And he was like, "Holy cow. Did you know Jaden Reed is the number two wide receiver in the NFL?" And we all were all like, "Oh, wow, that's crazy." Like, didn't really think much about it. Kind of like thought, sat on it for a little bit. We were like, "Wait, no way." What did you just read? Who is your source? And he was like, he defended it so hard. And then finally he looked at it again and it was wide receiver two on the Packers. So
yeah,
that was kind of a funny story about Jaden Reed, but
wide receiver two in the NFL.
Yeah. It was the funniest part about it was nobody really questioned it until like 10 minutes later. But yeah, this will be an interesting one. I'm actually pretty excited to see this in person. I'm going to be at this game on Sunday night. So it should be a fun one. I am very excited. I have also checked the forecast. It's going to be a little cold.
A little cold, dude. It's going to be like, how much? Like 20?
I think I saw it was like 30.
Oh, you'll
think high. I think the high was 30. So I'll
be
fine.
Yeah. How about your mom?
She will be going with me. She's excited. I mean, she grew up in the north, so she's used to the cold. And my brother, my older brother's going as well. So it's a family affair, but it'll be a ton of fun. It's been a bucket list for my mom for a while. So this was it was either a Christmas present last year or like a birthday present. I can't really remember what it was to her.
Both.
Yeah. Honestly, it cost it enough, but it'll be a good one.
That's good. That's exciting. Well, should we talk about your streamer this week, Nate?
Yeah. So my streamer this week.
About him a little bit.
Yes, definitely. We already touched on it, and I think this is going to be a pretty popular stream for a lot of people this week, but it's going to be Zach Moss, running back for the Colts. This is honestly comes just in the wake of the Jonathan Taylor news. Jonathan Taylor is going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. I think they have nowhere else to turn to but Zach Moss right now. And he's proved it earlier on this year when Jonathan Taylor was out. He was very good. I mean, there was a point in time when Zach Moss was like a top four running back. And it was very strange. Even after Jonathan Taylor returned, he was still pretty active and playing well. But it's kind of funny. He's still sitting at running back 22 on the year. After really not touching a 35% snap share for the last 4 weeks, but
I hope
he's a good. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you go. Go.
No, he can be a very productive running back. I think the only thing that really hurt him this year was JT returning. You know,
that was it.
He's the guy with the contract, and he's honestly a more talented running back. But
hot take.
But I think, yeah, Zach Moss. Right now on Sleeper, he's only rostered in 50% of leagues, and he's currently started in 15%. So for a lot of people, you could probably grab him off waiver. Myself,
how much fab do you put him?
I mean, I don't really want to say because we're in a league together. But
I should say it's for the podcast,
at this point in the season, where we're approaching playoffs, and a lot of these are must-win games for people, I think you put in 30% plus of whatever you have, or 40% even.
Right.
I mean, I think to get like a clear-cut running back, I would call him a running back one going forward.
Low end, maybe, yeah.
Low end running back one for, I mean, just from what we've seen when he has been the running back one in Indianapolis, yeah. I mean, he's a high ceiling type of player, high volume too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think a 30 to 40% fab is reasonable. I don't really know who else is going to become available as the season goes on that could help you win two games as much as Zach Moss could right now. So,
in the playoffs too.
And in the playoffs. Yeah, these are big games in the season. So that's my take for our streamer.
You'll have fun with him on your team because you'll probably outfit me. Hopefully not, though. Well, fingers crossed. Next player up on my list as a streamer is Curtis Samuel. Not the most sexy name. The 43rd ranked wide receiver this year. He's been banged up the past month and a half, honestly. But he came back to full strength playing 55% of the snaps against the Cowboys. He had 19 fantasy points. That's pretty solid. He had 12 targets, 9 catches for 100 yards, no touchdowns. That's pretty good. And then they play Miami this week, which Miami's secondary is not great. Let me just put it lightly. So I think that could be a low-key high-scoring game, and I'd want any part of that. So that was kind of a quick analysis, but neither of those teams have defenses, and that's part of the reason I think why I'm so high on this, because especially if they're losing, they have to throw. So, Nate, am I on my own here, or you kind of get what I'm saying?
No, this is actually some advice I gave to a coworker of mine this afternoon. He was,
oh, really?
He was in a start-sit debate between Curtis Samuel and Tyler Lockett, I think. Yeah, I like the Curtis Samuel play. I just think, yeah, this is going to be a game where Washington's going to have to throw the ball a lot. I think Curtis Samuel can be a high-volume receiver. Had a great week last week. He's got the high game upside. High point production upside. So, and yeah, I think he benefits from not being a top two target in that offense. I think he can maybe be kind of the forgotten about receiver or weapon on that team. So I think he could kind of benefit from some garbage time, but I think even if it is a competitive game, it's going to be high scoring. So
did you see him to Ohio State?
No, I did not know that.
I had no idea. But he went to Ohio State, apparently. So, interesting. Fun fact. Now, got to go on to the must-starts. Nate, who's a guy in your lineup who you're starting everywhere?
I actually don't own him anywhere, which is kind of the funny thing. But this is a guy I really like going into this week. Actually, in the same game. But it is Jalen Waddle on the Miami Dolphins. I think Tyreek was probably the too obvious of an answer. I don't think anybody's planning on sitting Tyreek going into this week. But
just thinking about it,
I think Jalen Waddle is a must start. Washington is a bottom three passing defense, and Jalen Waddle just came off a really good performance against the Jets, which was a tough matchup for him. Despite not catching a touchdown, he put up 19 points, 8 catches on 8 targets for 115 yards. Very good week. I think there are going to be a lot of yards through the air in this Washington game. I mean, Tyreek's obviously going to get his, but I think Waddle is set for another, you know, big, I would honestly call it a triple digits yardage performance. And you just kind of pray that he hauls in a touchdown. Achan is coming back this week.
Fingers crossed.
So, I mean, that you could see, you know, the game script go a little more run heavy if that's the case. But I just think that makes this offense more explosive, gives them more scoring opportunities, which is good for everybody. So I like Jalen Waddle for this week. I'm going to shoot my shot. I'm going to say 26 fantasy points from Jalen Waddle.
You're literally guessing everything. I love it. Hopefully you're right for all those out there. Mine is a guy we haven't touched on yet, but is something I wanted to talk about because he just played so good last week. And that is Pat Freiermuth. So I know what you're all thinking. Oh, he had one good game, week 12 against the Bengals. He had 21 fantasy points. Ooh. And yes, I understand that. Just one game. The rest of the season has been really great outside of one, maybe two games. But the reason I'm bringing him up is the Steelers fired Matt Canada, their offensive coordinator, before this game. And as you can tell, him and Steelers offense hasn't been very good this year. And one thing they really struggled to do was attack the middle of the field, which is where Pat Freiermuth primarily operates. And with their new offensive coordinator, which I don't know his name off the top of my head, but this is the first game, the first sample size. And he goes out there and gets 11 targets, only playing 60% of the snaps, I think is a great sign going forward. And their schedule is really not that bad. They play the Cardinals next week, then the Patriots, Colts, Bengals, Seahawks. And if you play week 18, it's Baltimore, but most people don't. That's a pretty good schedule, I think, for most people to look at. And so that's my main thing, is they play the Cardinals next week. I could see him having similar production. Don't know about 21, but I could easily see him getting 8-9 targets in that offense. And I think that can really help out a lot, especially if this offense is going to take another step up in another week in a different system. I think we could see big things from not only all the Steelers, but Pat Freiermuth specifically.
I like it. Kind of an interesting pick for a must start, as this guy could probably be seen as like a streamer in a lot of leagues, but I like the confidence. Yeah.
There's not a ton of good tight ends out there. And with TJ Hockenson on his bye, Goddard might not be playing. There's just a lot of uncertainty, I feel like, this week compared to others. So that's why I made him a must start.
Pat Freiermuth is rostered in 51% of sleeper leagues, only started in 30%. So I think for a lot of people, he probably might be available on the waiver. If he is, what fab would you be allocating towards him?
Maybe like a 10%, depending on my tight end situation. If I'm desperate, 20%, 30%, and just hoping this continues to kind of take off. But if we're doing just percentages, yes, I'd do that. If I had somebody already, I'd just maybe throw in a zero waiver claim form, just to have a nice backup. But yeah, I mean, to go from one target to 11 with an offensive coordinator change, that's a massive change. That's like, Nate, if you were having a financial advisor and they, let's just say they got you, to make the math easy, 2% every year, right? You're like, okay, you know, it's not very good. You hire this new guy, and in a month or whatever, he gets you, 12%. That's huge. I don't know. Maybe it's
I
just
think, yeah, I think the biggest part about this one as like a long-term play for Pat Freiermuth too is that it came, like what spurred it was the offensive coordinator change. Like that is actually like, that is like a systematic like change of events that took place that could actually set him up for this performance for the rest of the year. I mean, if this was just like kind of a one-off, like all we've seen with, what was his name, Matt Canada?
Yeah.
If this was still a Matt Canada game and, you know, it
yeah,
just,
I would not
the
be
game
nervous.
flow just dictated that Pat Freiermuth was going to get 11 targets, I would think of that a little differently as maybe like, oh, well, good week for him, but still don't trust him necessarily the rest of the year.
Yeah.
This is like, it seems like that they, this was the game plan, was to get Pat Freiermuth the ball more. I also think this is like, it's so important for the Steelers too, because those are easy throws for Kenny Pickett to make to Pat Freiermuth. Like Kenny Pickett has struggled this year, I would say. That has not been an explosive offense. I wouldn't say throwing it to Pat Freiermuth, your tight end, is necessarily explosive, but it moves the ball along and it helps everything else. So I think he could kind of be a cornerstone of that offense going forward the rest of the year.
I agree. Yeah. I agree 1,000% with what you said. It was just a major change that changed his outlook a lot for, I think, me and a lot of other people. So
definitely. I to drive on our points again, it's like, if you're listening to this right now, you have the opportunity to get Pat Freiermuth. You're hurting at tight end. I think he could be really good like the rest of the season now.
Yeah, and we're talking about, I think he could be a top, if this trend with their offensive system continues, what's stopping him from being a top five tight end the rest of the season?
Really nothing. I mean,
nothing.
Probably touchdowns.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
if
a good point.
If he could get a couple touchdowns, I mean, I think he can easily crack that. But, yeah, I like the pick. That's a good one.
Very nice.
But moving on to our final segment of this week, we're going to do the locks of the week. We have been on a struggle bus the last couple weeks. I don't know if we have provided a winning pick so far, or
Nate,
since
your Steelers pick hit.
No, it didn't. Oh yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
Wait, they just won.
Let's go. Yes. So I did win
Commanders
with the Steelers.
And Chargers now.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to reflect on that too much, especially since I thought the Steelers lost. I remember hating that pick so much that even a win feels like a loss.
Good pick. It's okay.
I won, but at what cost? So,
did you watch the game?
Did anybody?
Exactly. Okay. So you didn't really lose. You didn't watch the Steelers-Bengals game. You didn't really lose.
Yeah, exactly. So, Leighton, do you have a lock for us this week?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I was looking before the show. Not a ton I'm really excited about. I guess I can come up with one. And I don't love it. Actually, I have two, so maybe you should go first. Do you have one or no?
Kinda. I would say yes, I do have one.
Okay,
I can give
first.
You one. All right, my pick is going to be the Los Angeles Rams -3.5. I think what we saw from them last week was a very good performance. When that offense is healthy, and they got a lot of players back on defense too, I think they are a decent football team. Which honestly, the -3.5 may be a little rich for me. I still think Cleveland, even if they're starting DTR or PJ Walker, I don't know who they're planning to start. Even if they are starting that, I think 3.5 is probably a little much. You're not getting much home field advantage in LA. So that's a tough line to lay 3.5, but I definitely think that they could win this game by a touchdown very easily. Cleveland Browns defense is a force to be reckoned with. They are probably, I would call them a top three defense. But Myles Garrett got banged up a little bit, did he not?
Yeah, he has a shoulder injury, but he's going to play.
I still think the Rams are the play here. I think they can. The thing with the Rams is they have the potential to put up 28 points. The Cleveland Browns do not. I don't think the Cleveland Browns can put up 20 points against the Rams. So I think you just hope, you just roll the dice, on the Rams, thinking that they can hit that mark of 20 points plus, and just the Cleveland Browns aren't going to get there. So that's my pick. Yeah, tough board this week, I think.
Very tough. So that's why I still don't really have an answer for you. I am going to go with, I'm not building suspense. I just don't really know. So, okay, Nate, I'll tell you. I'm torn between the Lions minus four at the Saints and the Broncos plus 3.5 at Texans.
What's your thinking on this Broncos line?
They're getting points, and I think they could be better.
You think they're better than the Texans straight up?
I think they could be, yeah. They've been on a winning streak, and while it hasn't been pretty, they've won like the past 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to argue with.
I mean, this is pretty much implying that the Texans are like 1.5 better than the Broncos, which I would agree with you. I don't know if that's the case. I also, what I like about this is just the number. You get the half point to secure a field goal game either way. So I think I probably do like that pick. I would agree with you there on the Broncos.
I'm going to go with that because if this pick misses, that means the Broncos probably lost. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to take the Broncos plus 3.5. The other one was, like I said, the Lions, just because I don't know who's going to play wide receiver for the Saints. Could be nobody.
Could be Taysom Hill.
Could just be Taysom Hill.
The Saints may just roll out with 10 people on offense.
Might Taysom as well.
Taysom Hill's the quarterback and receiver.
And the tight end.
And the tight end. 9 people, never mind.
And the running back.
8. I would like to see them do that.
Honestly, what they should do, they should have Jameis Winston at quarterback, Taysom Hill at wide receiver, with Alvin Kamara at wide receiver.
Yep. That'd be fun. I would watch that.
No, that's definitely a Derek Carr game if I've ever heard one. So, yeah, that's...
Okay. Yeah, you were leaning Detroit Lions, though. You like the minus 4 a little bit?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
So they just got killed, so it's... Anyway, well, I think that's going to do it. It's been a good one, but it's been a late one, so I think we're going to go get some sleep. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you're doing well in your playoffs, like the two blondies are right here. Good luck. Follow us on Twitter or X. We'll catch you guys next week. Good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.